Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on Hot 1027, and it is really good to be with you this morning. I hope that you've all had a good week and that you're having a good day so far, even though the day has just started. On Thursday last week, we celebrated commemoration of the faithful departed, and on Wednesday, All Saints' Day. So today, instead of looking at Sunday's readings, I thought we would look at All Saints' Day and the commemoration of the faithful departed. And commemoration of the faithful departed is really just thanking God for our relatives and friends who've gone before us. All Saints' Day, obviously, we're remembering the saints. And I do wonder who your favourite saint is. I have quite a few, but the one who really touches my heart is St. Francis because of his love for the animals. Now, I thought I would start by looking at the collect for the day for All Saints because it is a beautiful collect. And it goes as follows. God of holiness, your glory is proclaimed in every age. Isn't that beautiful? Your glory is proclaimed in every age. So even in this age, as we're looking at the wars and things around us, God's glory is still being proclaimed. As we rejoice in the faith of your saints, inspire us to follow their example with boldness and joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. And of course, I think we all know that the saints had a very hard time, that there were times when they were persecuted, there were times when they had nothing, they suffered, and they lived in difficult times, more or less the same as we do now. And yet they remained faithful through all their struggles. And that's what I love about celebrating All Saints' Day, is that we remember those who remained faithful, true to your word, who stood for your people no matter what, no matter what it meant to them. Now, I'm going to read the reading from Revelation set for All Saints' Day, and it's Revelation chapter 7, beginning at verse 9. After I looked, there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be to our God for ever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you are the one that knows. Then he said to me, These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God, and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more, and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor the scorching heat. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And the reason I'm sharing this, and I just want to pick up on some of the things from this reading, is that at this particular time in our history, I think it is so important for us to hold on to these messages of hope. So these people have come out of the great ordeal, we're told. And what do they find? They worship God night and day. First of all, I think that's important for us. We need to worship God night and day. Not just occasionally when we feel like it, but we need to worship God no matter what. And I like to say that no matter what, because whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether we're struggling, whether we're celebrating, let us not forget to worship the Lord our God. So they worship God night and day, and God himself will shelter them. They will hunger no more. They will thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. So I would say that's Jesus will be their shepherd, and he's going to guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And so we have this beautiful message of hope, of a God who's going to shelter us, an end to hunger and thirst. The sun and the scorching heat won't hurt. The Lamb, Jesus, will be our shepherd, will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and wipe away every tear from their eyes. I think we all understand how important water is. And of course, Jesus also said, those who drink from the water I will give them will not thirst. And that water is the water of life that flows from the throne of grace out through the middle of heaven, out in the tree that carries the leaves for the healing of the nation, and right to us. So that is the water of life. And there will be no more tears. Today, as we're going to look at the commemoration of the faithful departed, we often grieve for our loved ones, and that is right and normal. As human beings, we should grieve. But I look forward to a day when there will be no more tears, and when we can just be filled with joy and live permanently in the presence of God. So when we look around today, I think it is important for us as people of God to be people of hope, not doom and gloom. We need to bring some hope. We need to bring joy. We need to bring love into situations. And it's so important that we watch the words we speak to, that they are words of encouragement, words of hope to others. And we will see that when we look at the reading set out for the commemoration of the faithful departed. God will never leave us nor forsake us. And I want us to remember that. No matter how we're feeling, no matter how the circumstances look, God will never leave us nor forsake us. God is our shelter and our refuge. And one day there will be no more death, no more tears, no more grief. But right now, we called, like those saints of old, to remain faithful to God in all we do, no matter what is going on around us, no matter how we're feeling. We need to remain faithful. It brings me back to that old Sunday school song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way than to be happy in Jesus, than to trust and obey. And so we need to trust and obey God, no matter what. And we've looked at All Saints. We've looked at the reading set for All Saints Day, which was from Revelation, which reminds us that God is our shelter, our refuge. One day there will be no more tears. But in the meantime, we are shepherded by Jesus, and we receive from the water of life. And so we are provided for. And it is just a message of hope. And I spoke about how the saints went through so much persecution and trouble and trials, and yet they remained faithful. And so too, no matter what's going on around us, we call to remain faithful, to trust and obey. Now the reading set for the commemoration of the faithful departed, and it is just a day set apart where we remember our loved ones who've gone before us. And at St. Mark's, what I do is ask people to write down their names, and we pray over them and thank God for their lives and the good that they've sown into our lives. So that's what it's about. It's about remembering them, thanking God for the privilege of having had them in our lives, and thanking God for the good that they've sown in our lives, and then asking that God's perpetual light shines upon them. So the first reading is from Isaiah 25:6-8a. And again, this is a message of hope, so we need to listen to this, especially at this time in our history. Isaiah writes, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear." In other words, God is preparing a lavish feast, much more than just an ordinary meal. "And God will destroy on this mountain that shroud that is cast over all nations." And I truly believe at the moment that there is a shroud cast over all nations. "God will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord will wipe away the tears from all the faces." Now, isn't that beautiful? It's the same promise that we see then in Revelation, thousands of years later. God will wipe away all our tears. And I love that about God will remove that shroud that is covering the nations, because at the moment, as I said, I truly believe we're covered by a shroud. So in this reading from Isaiah, there is promise, there's hope in God. It's God's preparing not just a normal meal, but a lavish feast. So God is providing from the abundance of God's heavenly kingdom where there is no lack. And I think when I think about all our tears being wiped away, I just constantly love that. And I think we need to be reminded of that, that when we are with God, all our tears will be wiped away. Now the prophet Isaiah proclaimed his message to Judah and Jerusalem from about 742 to perhaps 701 or 687 BCE. It was a very uneasy time for Israel because the northern kingdom was annexed next to the Syrian Empire, and Judah lived uneasily in its shadow. So it was a difficult time for Israel, and here he's prophesying that one day God's going to remove the shroud, God's going to prepare this lavish feast, and God will wipe away all the tears because they're going through a lot of turmoil. And there's obviously the threat of the nations right next to them. Now, not much is known about Isaiah in his early years, but some think he may have been a priest. And he brings this message of hope at a time when they really need it. And that message is then confirmed in the New Testament, which is the second reading set for the commemoration of the faithful departed, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Now, Paul is writing to this church in Thessalonica, which is undergoing some challenges. Some people have been killed, and they are obviously being persecuted. And he writes the following: "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who've died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." So again, we have this theme of hope. And I just want to pause there for a moment and talk about when my mom died. So I was crying quite a lot at the day of her funeral before we actually started the funeral. And a parishioner said to me, "You shouldn't be crying because you're a person of hope. No more tears." And I said to her, I said, "I'm also a human being who's grieving the loss of my mom." And I think it's important for us to stress that God isn't saying that we should never have tears. And Paul isn't saying that we should never have tears. But our tears are not tears of devastation. Our tears are for the loss that we're experiencing of the physical presence of that person. But we do grieve as people of hope. I knew my mom knew Jesus. I knew where she was. That wasn't what I was crying about. I was crying about my own loss of the physical presence of my mom. So here again we need to grieve as people of hope. And then Paul goes on, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord." And of course we know there's power in the word of the Lord. "That we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died." In other words, Paul is saying that those of us who are still left here before the second coming won't precede those who've already died. "For the Lord himself will, with a cry and of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet," here we have the apocalyptic writing that we saw in Revelation, "will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise again. And they're going to arise first. Then we who are alive will be caught up in the clouds and be with God forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." So here again we have this promise of life after death, a promise of God's power and of eternal life, and a message of hope and encouragement, and that message from Paul, encourage one another. We see things going on around us. There is unfair things happening. We can see that people have died, and perhaps we feel that innocent people are dying. But we need to be people of encouragement, giving each other hope, recognizing that one day we will be with God in eternity. Today I've looked at Isaiah as we looked at the commemoration of the faithful departed, and I've looked at the prophet promising the people of Israel that a time will come when there will be no more death and when there will be no more tears. And we've looked at Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, the capital city of the Roman province of Macedonia, a church that, as I said, was experiencing persecution and in fact was threatened by social pressures to turn back to the life from which they had come. So they were being threatened, and there was a lot of pressure put on them to give up this new way of life and to go back to the way they had been. When we place this reading in context, Paul is writing in response to a church troubled by the question of eschatology. Eschatology means questions about the end times. And some of the Thessalonians were perplexed by the death of believers and wondered whether those who had died would be excluded from life after life. Life after death, if you like. Life at the resurrection. So some of those believers felt that some of those people who had died would not be part of this resurrected life that would come, the eternal life. And so they were asking Paul those questions. So Paul is responding to that, and he replies with apocalyptic narrative. And that's what I pointed out when I was reading it. A story of events of end times, which makes it clear all will inherit eternal life. All who seek Jesus, who serve Jesus, have Jesus as their Saviour, will inherit eternal life. It is a very clear writing that in this time, people thought that the end times were coming soon. So when I look at this writing and they talk about how they're asking that question, those who've gone before us while we're still waiting for the second coming, they thought that second coming was imminent. But in chapter 5, Paul makes it clear that no one can predict the time of the end. And we know that because Jesus himself said, no one knows the hour or the day. And I think this is really important for us because with this war between Israel and Palestine, lots of people are asking me, is this the end times? Let's look at the Middle East. And I have to answer, we don't know. If Jesus didn't know, we don't know. And there have been many events in the past where people have thought this is end times. What is important is that we live today fully in Christ, doing what we can to make a difference, being faithful to God, walking in trust and obedience, and sharing hope and love and encouragement with others. That's what's important. I don't think we need to focus on, is this the end time? I think what we need to focus on is how we're living today. Because some of the promises here are so beautiful. All who believe in Jesus will be saved because of Jesus' death and resurrection. That we don't need to grieve as people without hope, because we will be resurrected because of Jesus, and so will our loved ones, so we will see them again. So today, as we commemorate the faithful departed, let's give thanks to God for our loved ones and give thanks that they are safe with God and we will see them again. But most importantly, just have hearts filled with gratitude for the love that they sowed into our lives, for the good that they sowed into our lives. So thank God for their lives. Let us experience that hope that comes from God and go out as instruments in God's hand, instruments of hope, instruments of love, agents of reconciliation and change, transformation more and more into the likeness of God. So let's go out and be used by God for that. And let's not focus on whether it's end times, as I said. Let's focus on living with God. Then Jesus ends John's Gospel. There was a John's Gospel reading set, John chapter 6, verse 37 to 39, and Jesus says, "Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away." And he goes on to say that the will of God is that he should lose nothing that God has given to him, but raise it up on the last day. And here again is a wonderful message of hope and love and encouragement and comfort. Jesus says that God has instructed him not to lose anyone that God has given him, and that Jesus himself will never drive us away, but will walk with us and encourage us. So our loved ones and ourselves are safe with God. There's no safer place for us to be. We are never going to be lost. Jesus is keeping watch over us. And so I think we need to today, I want you to just call to mind your loved ones and give a prayer of thanks and to recognize that you can trust God and you can trust God with your loved ones. I know that when my father died, and it's the last story I'll share today, when my father died, I had a dream the one night and it was very real to me. It was a Saturday night and I dreamt about my dad in a boat with me on the river where we grew up, and I was taking him across the island, and on the island was Jesus, and Jesus had his arms open wide and he said to me, "Shona, you can trust your dad to me. Just give him to me." And my dad got out the boat and went to Jesus. And the next morning in church, my mom had a tap on her shoulder and a woman said, "I just need to share something that I dreamt." And she shared that exact same dream. And I waited till my mom had finished church and I phoned her, because my mom was down in Quebec. I was up here in Johannesburg. And I phoned her and I said, Mom, you can't believe what I dreamt." And as I was sharing, she started to cry, because she said, "God sent that message to you and to a lady in our church to confirm it." And so the message was confirmed that we can trust God with our loved ones. There's no safer place for them, and there's no better hands for them to be in than the hand of God. And so today, if you are grieving, I pray that something of what I've shared will bring you some hope, as we grieve as people of hope, knowing that our loved ones are with God, as we will be too one day. But in the meantime, Jesus is our shepherd, watching over us, guiding us and protecting us in this life. To wrap up this morning, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God" and 10,000 Reasons. Thank you so much for listening. May God bless you and your loved ones. And if you need to get hold of me, you can do so at shona@hot1027.co.za. God bless.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.